Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Fairchem Organics Limited Q2 FY24 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Thakkar from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Amit Thakkar from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Fairchem Organics Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and the first half of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Nahush Jariwala, MD and Chairman, and Mr. Rajan Jhaveri, CFO. Without any further delay, I would request Mr. Rajan Jhaveri to start with his opening remarks on the financial highlights. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Amit, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our earnings call for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2024. Let me first start off by giving you some of the key financial highlights, after which our CMD, Sri Nahush Jariwala, will give you some of the operational highlights. For the second quarter of the financial year 2024, the revenue from operations stood at rupees 152 crores, which declined by around 10% year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 17 crores, representing a growth of 81% on year-on-year basis, with EBITDA margin at 11.04%. Net profit was rupees 10 crores, which has substantially rebounded on both on year-on-year basis and quarter-on-quarter basis, and PAT margin were at 6.77%. For first half of financial year 2024, the revenue from operations stood at rupees 313 crores, EBITDA was rupees 29 crores, with EBITDA margin on 6-month basis at 9.11%, and net profit was reported at 16 crores with PAT margin of 5.24%. Now I request our CMD Shri Nahush Jariwala to brief you on the operational highlights for the period under review.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. The sales of finished goods, considering all the products combined, decreased by approximately 8% in terms of volumes and about 5% in terms of value on quarter-to-quarter basis. Despite the decline in sales, the EBITDA percentage nearly doubled, primarily due to two reasons. Firstly, a lower percentage of material consumption relative to sales, and second is due to the reduction in power and fuel cost. Even though the quantity processed on quarter-over-quarter basis decreased by approximately 9%. The decrease in terms of quantity of around 8 to 9% is only because July, August, September is the lean period for the paint industry. That is the period when normally no painting is being done, and so that is the reason that a little bit decrease in volume has been there. As previously mentioned in last quarter, again reiterating that company has retained all its customers. The company also received a very positive response from its participation in Lubricant Expo, which was held in Germany in last week of September 2023. During the event, company showcased its newly developed high-value product, namely isostearic acid. US and European specialty companies were recently surprised by the fact that an Indian company is venturing in the global market of isostatic acid, which hitherto has been the domain of European and US companies only. The company is now taking further steps to obtain the necessary approvals from new consumers as they require to undertake stability tests, which entails around 90 days to 120 days QC related work. We are quite optimistic about commencing commercial shipments in coming quarter. With that, I open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from Smart Sync Investment Advisory Services. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, congratulations on an improved operating performance. So my first question is, can you please give the revenue mix from different end user industries?
Revenue mix during the quarter. For the print printing and adhesive segment, which are our two own main products, dimer acid and linoleic acid, that is 11.73 crores out of these 15 crores or something. And nutraceutical is 8.4 crores. And other is soap, fuel, etc. That segment is 2.29 crores.
Okay, sir. And in And sir, sales in our paints.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sir. So is our sales to paint segment mainly concentrated only on one customer, or have we made any new addition in the last few quarters given the entry of several newer players in the paints industry?
No, no. This paint printing and adhesive comprises of two products, dimer acid and linoleic acid. And in linoleic acid also, we have now more than one customer. Historically also we are, but now we have a very good another customer also. And as far as this dimer acid is concerned, it is all the entire set of customers is different for dimer acid.
As regards linoleic acid in paint, we are supplying to all big four.
Okay, sir. That is very helpful, sir. And sir, my second follow-up question is, sir, if hypothetically, if our operating margin is destined to go back to the 15% levels that we made earlier, then what will be the primary reason behind the same? Like, will it be due to operating leverage, reduction in raw material cost, change in product mix, or what will be the key driver of that?
It's a combined effect. New product, isostatic acid, capacity, improvement in capacity utilization, and raw material prices remaining under control.
Is a commodity. So,
I mean, it's a combined effect of three things together. We'll be able to hit 15-16%.
Sure, sir. So, what is the current capacity utilization levels?
It is around 65% as of now, but going forward, we expect the same to increase.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. And sir, my last question is, how long can it take for us to achieve those type of margins again, since it is less likely that we will achieve this guidance number in FY24? That we carried earlier for 15%.
Timeline to, because the raw material is a commodity.
Hmm.
I mean, we are striving, like isostatic acid, we expect from January, March to start moving, and April, June quarter onwards further increase in quantity. So, I mean, by that period, I mean, if things go well, yes, we should be back to that 15-16%.
Got it, sir. That helps, sir. And sir, if I can squeeze in another question, then I would just like to confirm that since our key competitive advantage is supposed to be our ability to source waste generated from edible oil, which leads to our cost advantages. So that is still true, right? Or
yes,
because...
It's still true.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sanjeev Kumar Damani from SKT Consulting. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. Namaskar. Am I audible? So I comment.
Yeah, audible.
Thank you. Sir, I am attending this for the first time and I looked at the company and its business very recently. So my preceder had asked about the raw material that is edible only oil. So I had a question that all our raw materials are from India or we have to import a certain raw material. That is my first question, sir.
We are majorly using the raw materials of which are waste products of vegetable oil refinery, and we source majority of it from India. If we get an opportunity from abroad where the material is available and the landed cost is less than the domestic material, we do import. But it is always on, not on regular basis. At the same time, it's not in a huge quantity.
It is subject to affordability. Yeah.
Okay. So I think our raw material is quite easily available. The pricing may vary from here and there, but our raw materials are always available indigenously.
Yes.
And abundantly.
Yes.
From all sources.
Yes, yes.
Right. It is a waste product of vegetable oil refineries, soft oil vegetable refineries.
So, we are buying from 100 refineries, so it's not...
Right. And there are so many in Gujarat itself, so that supports. Thank you very much. Second question is regarding the prices of the finished product. In your last phone call, I read that there was a pressure of import, so the prices were required to be revised lower. So what is the current status and can you...
Now there is no more pressure.
No more pressure.
One product only, dimer acid.
So that was one, Chinese did dumping for that particular quarter.
Okay.
Is it because of
higher import duty imposed there or their dumping has been stopped by them because they have their own requirement?
They have only stopped because, one cannot do business and loss. It was very
okay.
Clear.
Okay, sir. Okay, and sir, you have also said that some new product is going for trial abroad. So that product has no demand within India, sir?
Very low demand. It is basically used by more in the developing countries like US and Europe because it finds application in cosmetics and biodegradable lubricants.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. That helps. Thank you very much for clarification. Wish you all the best. Happy Diwali and good wishes for next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Preeti Nagar Sage from Wealth Finvestor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead. Yes.
Yes, okay. My question is, can you tell us the exact volumes that was there for Q2?
It was 16,070. Actually, the volume process was higher by 9% on Q2Q basis. Quantity process was higher. Only thing, quantity sold was lesser as mentioned by Nausbhai in his operating highlights remark.
Right. The other question I want to understand is that are we seeing commoditization of the linoleic and dimer acid product line?
No, not as yet.
So the impact in these quarters and the prior quarters was primarily due to China dumping and not related to...
Abnormal increase in vegetable oil prices. Abnormal increase-decrease happening in vegetable oil prices.
So now, do you see that has stabilized going ahead?
Now they have, since last 2-3 months, they have stabilized. Variation is there, but it is not there to the extent it used to be. Like, initially in those particular months, it was variation was happening to the tune of around 10% between the starting of the month and end of the month, either on downside or either on upside. So which was little bit affecting availability, our ability to purchase, at the same time our buyer's ability to purchase. So that was creating issues. Now they have stabilized.
Okay. So can we expect that manufacturers, you will come to know how they are also impacted because of this substantial variation? Large edible listed vegetable oil manufacturers in India.
Sure, sir. So can we say that from Q3 onwards, we should see a lot more standardized performance in terms of margin profile?
If situation remains like this,
yes, then we should. Right. So we should go back to say about 12%, 13% EBITDA margin and then subsequently 15%.
Yeah, because I mean, to be frank, our goal, internal goal always has been to remain in 14 to 16% EBITDA range. We strive to reach that only. But many times the external factors are such that they are beyond our control and we cannot do anything about it.
Right. So the last question I wanted to understand
is not under threat in any way.
Sure. I wanted to understand the business model for isostatic in terms of market size. So what is the kind of revenue that we should see from these products, both isostatic and stearic?
Looking at peak capacities, it should be anywhere between 100 and 125 crores per annum.
For isostatic. 100 crores plus that seat capacity.
Okay. For isostatic. And for stearic, is it combined?
No. Stearic is separate.
Stearic is separate.
Isostatic is separate.
There is a vast difference between stearic acid and isostatic acid. Size difference itself is
10 times.
Nearly 1 to 10 between stearic and isostatic.
Okay. So, sir, what should we expect as revenues from stearic acid from next year on?
Stearic acid is a value-added product. Earlier, we were selling palmitic acid and now we are selling stearic acid. So, it is a kind of a value-added product with normal margin.
Okay. It won't impact top line much, but it will improve the bottom line.
Yeah.
So, it's a forward integration, whereby we'll be doing some value addition in it. And already the stearic acid, we have started selling full capacity. What we are making, we are able to sell 100%.
Wonderful. Great. Wish you guys all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Ashish from InvestQ Investment Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, since we are saying that our margins should come back to kind of 14-15% now and that the dumping is over, so we had a, before all this started, last 4 quarters back, I think 20-25% annualized growth kind of a plan was there on the revenue and volume side both. So I think we in FY22 did around 100 crores of EBITDA. And thereafter, we've seen a fall in margins and hence the EBITDA also. So should we assume that 100 crores can be taken as a base if 14% kind of margin comes in? Because our top line has not grown for last 1.5 years overall. It was 650 crores then. So with the growth, I think, should we expect 150 odd crores of EBITDA to be done maybe in the next couple of years, assuming that this margin and the problem that we faced are gone now?
Couple of years, yes. 2 years down the line, we certainly hope to achieve those kinds of things.
We sure hope to achieve that. Because already all investments have been done, product development is over. So now, only now it's improvement, higher quantities we sell. I mean, that's the only thing.
That's right.
So
as far as top line is concerned, there is only one thing which we have to keep in mind, and it is difficult to quantify because see our top line and accordingly raw material price also is partly linked with this refined oil price. Now refined oil price at one point of time was 140, then it fell to 105, and I think today it is even less than 100. So it is 90.
So, see, volume will be a certain, we will be achieving the growth in terms of quantity processed and quantity sold. But as far as right. top line is concerned, it will substantially depend on this thing also.
Right, so that's why I mentioned EBITDA, because your top line raw material cost, it's kind of a spread that plays out there with the prices.
Yeah.
So that's why I said the 100 crore EBITDA, can we expect it to go to 150, because the plans that were there on the expansion and product addition, those have been continued. So I think that should be the expectation, right? And,
we would be constantly working on improving the absolute amount of our EBITDA. As far as
right.
top line is concerned, as we said, it is not entirely in our control.
Right. Sir, and this China dumping, I mean, it came and went off. Is it likely that something might come up again, or you think that was one-off and that's not...
It happened for the first time. And so, and then it stopped. So I don't think it's going to happen time and again. Maybe,
yeah.
I mean, once in a while it might happen. I would say no. I mean, because it happened once, so I cannot say that it would never happen again. But, I mean, continuously, I don't think it's going to happen.
So, basically, that's bad economics on the business profitability front. From the, I mean, whoever was dumping, that was the loss.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Okay. Because, sir, in other companies, in other chemical companies, this dumping issue is still playing out. So, I mean, for us, it's a, you're saying that it's a clear thing that for the foreseeable future, maybe 2-3 quarters, we're not seeing anything like that.
No. We are not seeing. This quarter, we haven't seen anything. This quarter,
okay.
last quarter also, we didn't see much. And so
okay,
I don't
so
think it could happen. Not unlike other specialty companies, it's not, at least we are lucky, it's not happening. It has not continued happening.
Okay, so basically Q3 onwards, we are expecting that the numbers to be like we used to work. Profitability.
Yeah. Yes.
So can we expect 14-odd% to come back in Q3 itself?
No.
No,
not that much improvement. But yes, next
it will be a gradual, sequential.
It will be, I can say one thing, it will go up than what it is today.
Okay, we are, I think, 11% this quarter, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So, FY25 should be much better, probably. We reach there.
By that time, isostatic also would start moving, no?
And it will be picking up also.
No, by that time, it will be picking up also.
Okay, and the cost of all the R&D plus the new product development and launches, all that is in the P&L.
Yeah, everything is over. In all trial run cost on plant
right,
and everything happened in Q1 and Q2. Now
substantially in Q1, yeah.
Substantially in Q1, that which was the reason our performance was not that good. But I mean, in Q2, now nothing like that sort is happening. Everything is now, process-wise, we are settled.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from SmartSync Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you again for giving me this opportunity to ask another question. So I just wanted one clarification. So earlier, in our DRHP and as well as investor presentations, we state that since the raw material availability is very less, given it's the waste of edible oil, so we being the largest player and having longer tenure relationships with the customers, help us to basically source raw materials. However, you now, and given the raw material availability is very less, so the market is quite niche and not many newer players are entering the market. So however, earlier in the call you said that the raw material availability is quite easy and you are able to procure that very easily. So can you please clarify, so has the supply situation changed in the market or?
See, as we have explained, our raw material is a waste product of vegetable oil refineries. So for whatever, and that also soft oils like soya, sun, corn, rape, canola, etc., cotton, etc. We are not buying anything of palm, which is considered a hard oil. And so if whatever reason, if the prime palm oil prices are low and more processing of palm oil is happening, then there will be less availability of less processing of soft oil and less availability of the waste products. So I mean, those things are go hand in hand. So, I mean, these are the part of overall business risk what we take, we have taken by remaining in waste oil processing industry. I mean, that's, I mean, once in a while, particular month, availability might go down also. That's, I mean, that do happen. And against that, we have enough of storage capacity also. So, I mean, because of lack of availability of raw material, we have never kept our plant shut. That much I can say.
Got
it,
sir.
So, manage whatever is our requirement.
Got it, sir. But what about other players in the market? So, are they able to procure the raw material easily? Because earlier we used to say that the availability in the market is very less. So, because of that, they don't procure easily.
How would we know?
And they are not listed companies, right?
And they are small players. And I mean, we are not aware about.
We would not know.
And at the same time, our ability to purchase at higher price is there because we are evaluated products. They are not.
Got it, sir. That helps, sir. And then one last clarification. So basically, if the palm oil production is higher in the market, so then the availability of the soft oil will be less, which will impact us negatively.
Yes, yes.
Right. Okay, sir.
Theoretically,
okay,
yes.
Theoretically, yes.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Kumar Damani from SKD Consulting. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, I am here again. One thing which emerged from the discussion is so I am concluding that palm oil waste, when palm oil is refined here in India and waste is created, that material cannot be used by us. Can you kindly confirm?
Yeah.
We cannot.
Palm oil material we don't use.
And we cannot use also, sir. Do you mean to say?
And we cannot. The product lines what we are making, we cannot make from palm based.
Not suitable for us. Okay, got it, sir. Second is, this castor oil residue, etc., is also processed by us?
No, not at this stage. Maybe in
not
future.
Achha. And third is, sir, who are our nearest competitors, if you can kindly name them? Nobody makes.
Kind of range of products we are making, then those kinds of range of products like linoleic acid, dimer acid, nutraceutical, stearic acid, and now accessory. This, there is no direct competition for all products put together. Someone might be making inferior kind of a linoleic acid, something like that.
Okay,
there is no
one
making dimer acid. So, I mean, grade 2 materials can be made, not exactly the product what we are making, which the big 4 paint industries would require.
Okay. So are we monopoly supplier to all the paint industries?
You can say that. Near about it.
Okay. And does our product have any competition with another product to be replaced?
No.
Suppose our prices go high, can they use some other material?
Linoleic acid has a competition from vegetable oil.
Oil itself.
Itself. Okay.
And dimer acid is no competition.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. I am satisfied. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rohan Advant from Prad Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one, I had a fundamental question on our two key products, linoleic acid and dimer acid. With our capabilities on sourcing and the cost structure, why are we not able to export it materially? Is there anything in this product that is not amenable to exports from India?
Oh, we are exporting it to Middle East. We are exporting, but at the same time, you need to understand that the freight, if we try to export it to US or Europe, the freight component would become substantial of overall cost.
Mm-hmm. And given the freight component, this is not amenable to
export. This is one of the reasons world over fatty acid is not moved between different countries.
Okay, got it. So in that context, sir, our growth in these two products will be linked to the growth in the paint industry largely in India.
one is paint and dimer has a number of applications. It goes as corrosion inhibitor, it goes in drilling fluid, it goes in any form of sticking, that is aerolite type material, it goes in paints, it goes in inks. It has a very wide application.
Okay, so the growth in dimer could be higher than linoleic?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And so secondly, on isostearic acid, that is largely exported, right? And is it a higher margin product?
100% export.
And that is a higher margin product for us?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, so
we are the only manufacturer in India and the fifth manufacturer in the world.
Okay, so that should be a EBITDA tailwind, you know, that 100 crores of
yes.
revenue.
Yes,
okay.
yes, yes.
So, and just lastly, on the China dumping, for the quarter that went by, which is July, August, September, did we not see any dumping for the entire quarter or for a part of the quarter?
Part of the quarter, because whatever they did in April, May, June, some residues are... would be left. So, I mean, little bit came in July. But
transit during that quarter, yeah. which ultimately got unloaded in the initial months of this quarter, something like that.
So, October, November, December will be the first, you know, after some time, clean quarter where there is no China dump.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Provided there is no further surfing from now onwards.
Looks like that.
Yeah. And sir, how the pricing of the finished product shaping up because our revenue still are down?
They are stable. They are stable. We are happy with it.
Okay, but on a YOY basis, they are still lower, right?
Yes, they are obviously lower because vegetable oil prices came down. So that is something which is not under our control.
So your spreads today in this quarter will be... what they were, say, you know, in good times.
They'll be better. They'll be better than Q2. Q3 will be 100% better.
Eventually, next couple of quarters would give a better result.
Got it, sir. Thank you for taking my question and all the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sahil Sangvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Just to carry it forward from the last participant, what kind of margins can we expect for the isostearic acid products?
Basically, on product-wise, you cannot have individual margin.
It is a value-added product.
It's a value-added product, and many products we also won't like to share. Hope you'll understand.
Sure. No worries, sir. My second question is, sir, in the export market, what kind of competition do we have for this product? I'm just trying to understand from the point of...
There are two players in US and two players in Europe who are making this product.
So, still we'll be able to get inroads and...
very easily, very easily. Because there is a demand-supply mismatch.
And, and pricing-wise, I mean, even after considering freight, are we on par with them?
Absolutely, absolutely, because overall the value of the product is very high. So, percentage is not going to impact in any way.
For linoleic, it is a different thing, and for isostearic, it is a different thing. Freight would depend on the volume. Ne? One ton of linoleic also will have same freight, and one ton of isostearic also will have same freight.
Right, sir. And my third question is, sir, for isostearic only, what kind of issues could lead to the rejections? I mean, if I heard it right, you said there is a last stage of some quality tests which are going on, right, sir? For isostearic?
Yes. It's called stability test.
Right, sir. Stability test. So,
pilot plant, see, it is a three-stage process. First stage is you get approvals of your lab samples. Second stage is you get approvals of your pilot plant samples. Third stage is you get the approvals of your plant samples. Right now we are at the third stage of getting approval of the plant samples. So, I mean, we don't foresee any issues because both the other, and we also have, before sending samples, we also have undertaken a couple of tests at our end because we also know how to do all those stability tests. But all
right,
these big companies are there. I mean, they are multinational, so they ought to do at their own end. and obviously the multinational companies don't move as fast as any company like us would move. So obviously what we feel is they will take around 90 days to 120 days to really come up with final results, which we are, we get regular feedbacks from them on fortnightly basis, and till date nothing negative has come up.
Right, sir. And my last question would be, is it too early or do we already have any kind of orders for this?
We have orders.
Okay.
We have substantial orders.
And delivery would be first quarter next year?
Once the approval is there, then the immediate supplies would start.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Manoj Doshi from BSL. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Just want to understand your traction with the newer players in the paint industry. How are we interacting with them? Are any what are the chances of our product getting approved by them?
Already it's approved.
Like all the players, like Grasim, JSW.
Yeah, it's already approved. It's already approved.
How?
Mr. Manoj, are you done with your question, sir?
Yeah. Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Sanjeev Kumar Zamani from SKD Consulting. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, namaskar. Sorry to bother you again. Sir, one more question, that our products are used by all kinds of paint, that is low-cost paint, high-cost paint, decorative and industrial.
Basically, it's used in decorative paints. And we are not dabbling much in the low-value unorganized paint sector. We concentrate more with the organized paint industry.
Okay. So I'm very happy and I really congratulate you that the new upcoming paint plants have also tied up with you. So things will improve in coming days.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, so we thank everybody for taking out time and participating in this earnings call, which now has become a routine thing every 3 months for the company. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. On behalf of Faircam Organics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.